The Anaheim Ducks have partnered with the OC Healthcare Agency to provide free resources through OC Navigator to Anaheim Ducks fans to help build their healthiest self. We all have difficult days or face hard times, but the resources ducks.ocnavigator.org provides to fans can help us all bounce back. There are tips that fans can utilize to ultimately be a better version of themselves, including nourishing activities, wellness toolkits, and more. To learn more, visit ducks.ocnavigator.org.
On the ice and throughout Orange County, the Ducks strive to support by giving back to local communities and programs. Join us as we take flight over Southern California on Leading the Flock.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Leading the Flock. And we're doing some very important interviews as of late because of our partnership with the Orange County Healthcare Agency and OCNavigator.org that we are bringing mental health awareness to as many people as we possibly can. We've just been blessed, I should say, to have some incredible people sharing their stories. And Sean Weiss joins me now to share his story. And Sean, I want to start by asking you one thing off the top, and this will, I'm sure, let us kind of peel away some of the layers. But when I say the name Drew Gallagher, what does that mean to you?
Well, it means a lot of things. The first thing that comes to my mind is he was a very helpful guy in a time when I needed a lot of help. He used to help me out on the street. I would call him up. I would get residuals that would go to my homeless mailbox, and I would go collect the residuals, and he would help me cash them. So I would have a few bucks in my pocket. And he was, he was always a champion and a supporter and, never gave up on me, I feel like. And was definitely instrumental in me coming over to the other side and being recovered.
Sean,
so I owe a lot to that guy.
Yeah, and I know, reading your story and hearing that, you hear things a lot like, you know what, you can't help Sean unless he wants to help himself. You hear a phrase like that a lot, but tell me, it's tough to help yourself when you don't know you need help, right?
Well, I mean, my situation was more of I knew I needed help, wanted help, and just couldn't get help. I didn't have the resources. I was in a position where I was homeless, and the only available treatment options to me were places that I wouldn't want to be, caught dead in. So really that was it for me. It was when a real treatment option was given to me, I took that chance. And when the law, the judge decided it would be better for me to try to rehabilitate myself rather than go sit in a jail cell, when they gave me that chance, I knew that was a chance that I couldn't turn down. So my situation was definitely a little different in that I knew very much, very badly that I needed help. And it was, realistically, without exaggeration, it sounds like an exaggeration at this point. But for 2 years, every time I got high, I told myself, this is the last bag I'm going to do. I'm going to get well, get my fix, and then I'm going to get help. I'm going to the Salvation Army, wherever it is. I'm going to call my friends. I ended up on the streets in such a short period of time. People didn't really even know what happened to me. I was embarrassed. I didn't want to reach out to friends. I thought I would be able to pull myself out of a tailspin without having to reach out for help. So, by the time I needed help, it was very obvious to me and everyone else and most of the people at TMZ also.
So this, this interview is happening under the Anaheim Ducks, Duck Stream. And of course, we go back to the Mighty Ducks and you're rocking it right now. And you go back to Greg Goldberg and a lot of people now are going, wait a second, Sean Weiss, I recognize the name. I know who that is. and it's, you're such a...
And my voice is being the same.
Yes, right? And you're such a fabric of those movies and why everybody fell in love with this hockey team when it first started back in 1993. What did the role of Greg Goldberg mean to you?
Well, it meant so much. When I was growing up, it was like, you know, the coolest thing I had going on for me. You know, leaving school every few months to go hang out with your best friends in Minnesota to make a movie was just fantastic. So I always knew the Mighty Ducks was a very special thing to, you know, be a part of. Did I know that, you know, people's feelings would endure this long and would, you know, end up pulling me out of a drug addiction with all their love and support? I didn't see that coming, no.
You know, and one thing that everybody, I say, I'm going to talk to Sean, and they say, you should lead by saying Goldberg. Do people do they stop you or say, do they just like throw that phrase at you? How many times have you heard that?
I get that. That's a big one. Goldberg. And you know what? It's part of my vernacular now. Like, even when I mess up, I'll just look at somebody and go, Goldberg. So I even make that joke like in my stand-up comedy now. Too. May I'll save the real joke for later. But yeah, you know, people ask me, do you get annoyed when people call you Goldberg? I say, no, I get annoyed when people call me Knucklepuck. That's a different guy.
Oh, it's so good. Oh my gosh. Well, let's go back.
Yeah, that's not to double answer your question.
Oh, please do.
It often, like, you know, strikes me sometimes I'll be at an event, at an appearance, you know, meeting the fans, and it'll hit me. I'm like, you know, these people love you for a character that you did who was basically famous for crapping his pants, basically. Like, that's what you had. That's what they love. They love this guy that used to fart everywhere. So.
You know, not everybody can say that, though, Sean. I mean, you were endearing. You were lovable. You were relatable. I mean, you were all those things that you brought to the table. So, I mean, that's something that you certainly should be able to hang your hat on. You know, and I guess now I'd like to turn back the clock a bit and just when did all this start going wrong for you? When the addiction, when did you first dabble in it? When did it first become, you know, the road down?
Well, I mean, dabble in it. I was one of the like earlier kids to try alcohol and pot and all those things, because not that adults would like give it to me, but I would like follow them around at the parties. You know, I would always want to like hang with the older people. So I drank and smoked pot, you know, my teenage years, and it was probably in excess, but it never really got, you know, out of control. When I got to be around, I don't know, mid-20s, late-20s, my mother had passed away and the acting work dried up. And I guess that's when really my core depression began. So really, my problems didn't come from this exciting, wonderful world of Hollywood. It came from not having it around anymore. Because, you know, once you have that sort of lifestyle, it's sort of difficult to step away from it. So at one point, I just had a plethora of circumstances hit me at once. It was really a perfect storm. So I had a relationship with a woman, and we had an apartment, and our lease was up, and we broke up. So I didn't have a place to live. And I had a show that we were pitching, and that didn't work out. So I had this big project that everyone was working on, and that didn't work out. And my father died. So in a space of about 4 months, I lost my job, it's like a country western song.
Wow. Yeah.
I lost my job. I lost my fiance. And that really, I really lost my mind over that. Because, you know, I had never dealt with infidelity before. I had never experienced these intense emotions. And I think they're emotions that probably a lot of people go through. Some people crack. Some people don't have the coping skills necessary to deal with those situations. And in that perfect storm, I was that guy. So, you know, what started off as sort of a real fun, exciting initial time of being on drugs and not having to, you know, be accountable to anyone, not having to take care of anything or myself, you know, that last was fun at first. And then, you know, didn't take probably more than 6 or 8 months before I was deeply physically addicted to these substances, heroin and meth. People never give me credit for being a heroin addict. And I would like to say I quit heroin and meth. That's like, that's extra hard.
No, it's insane. Absolutely insane.
And the reason they never, you want me to tell you the reason, or is that TMI?
No, please tell me.
I never got, I think the reason they don't give me credit for being a heroin addict was I never got caught with heroin. So it was never in the news that I had heroin. I always would get caught with meth on me. But that's because whenever I got the heroin, I would do it.
Right.
I didn't keep it on me. So I think that's how that narrative got formed.
There's no TMI, by the way, in this interview.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You're good. Yeah. Just go, man. I mean, this is as much as you're willing to share. And please, I don't want to be too intrusive, but I do want to ask you questions because I want people to understand that you can come out on the other side. You know what I mean? Like there is hope. And so when did the alcohol in the pot turn into meth and heroin? When did that happen? How did that happen?
It literally turned into, I was at my friend's house and we had a fight, and I went next door to a park next door, and I was probably looking for cocaine or something, and those guys didn't have it. They just had meth, and they were, you know, gang members. And eventually I got to talking with them and making them laugh. And I'm sure they figured out who I was because, you know, it's pretty obvious. And I started getting it from those guys. So that's how that happened. Just, you know, logistics. I was just next door to where those guys had it. But, you know, you hit the nail on the head. I want to let you know there is no, you can't get further down a spiral than I was as a drug addict. Like, I did not picture ever a day where I would be recovered. It just wasn't even something I thought about. I was going to die doing heroin, and I was probably going to die shooting too much. So the fact that I'm sitting here with you talking here is literally proof that, you know, from no matter where your situation is, I was on the street sleeping behind a dumpster. I wasn't even sleeping. And, you know, I've managed to, by the grace of God and the help of a lot of people and the AA program, 12-step program, I'm able to sit here with you, you know, and enjoying my life again.
Can you share a story when you thought it was over? When you had hit such a low that you thought this was it?
Well, I just put a post on my Instagram a few days ago on my third year, my third.
Congratulations, by the way. I should have led with that. I mean, we are so proud of you, and I know you're proud. You should be. I mean, it's amazing that you're three years sober, and hopefully for many more. By the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy how time flies, especially when you're having fun. I remember being in the jail cell the day after I got arrested. And I was literally thinking of, how can I die? Like, I don't want to physically be in my body and go through this. I don't want to recover. I don't want to do any of this. I just don't want to be here. And I remember asking the deputy to shoot me, but in like a real man-to-man way. And, you know, I was so drugged up, I probably thought if I got to him, I could convince him, you know?
Yeah.
So that was, you know, you can't get a more of a 180 turnaround than wanting to die.
No.
And I think that's really what my underlying problem was. I was just committing suicide the easy way, but I didn't want to live. I had lost the zest for life. Worse than that, you know, I was tortured by the anxiety of my situation. And not once did I ever think to myself, you know, I should go and reach out and get professional help. Maybe I should see a therapist. Maybe I should see a psychiatrist. Not one time. And if I had done that, you know, maybe my journey wouldn't have been so, you know, long.
You described
but
to
I
me.
Definitely,
no, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sean.
I definitely think that should be, you know, in the vernacular now is whether or not people feel good. Like, it's not okay to not feel good. If you're depressed, it's not okay. It's an illness, and you should get it treated.
And you said to me a couple times, you're like, I thought that I could do this last thing of heroin, this last shot, this last, you know, thing of meth, and then that would be it. What is it though? What is it about meth, about heroin, that keeps you wanting to come back? Is it all you hear, Sean, about always trying to get, you always want that high to be better. You're always trying to get that. Is that what keeps you coming back?
I mean, if you're talking about using every day over 3 years, there was different things that kept me coming back every day. But yeah, all of that. And a lot of it too is just in the pattern of your behavior, you know, like the habit of something can be so hard to break sometimes. And if you're putting the work in as a drug addict to like steal things, to go and sell things, to go do hard street drugs, you're really, you know, imbibing it into your karma, so to speak. And so it's a hard thing to detach from.
The photo you posted, I'm still taken back on it. The photo when you were picked up on January of 2020, and where and looking at you now, how, like you said, you should be commended for kicking not only heroin but meth. Like, I don't know how in the world that you did it, but you are. I don't know how you can come back from that. When you look at your picture side by side from where you were 3 years ago, what goes through your mind?
I'm proud that I'm here, but I don't really feel like I have some kind of major accomplishment, you know? It's like drug addiction's the only thing where you accomplish something by not doing anything.
Right.
Right. So, you know, not doing anything, I can handle that. So when I see that picture, I'm proud of it, but, you know, it took sort of a village of people to get me to that spot. And without trying to sound modest, I really did just tune my mind into surrendering to the process and going with the flow. And that's really what got me my success. When people put things in front of me, I said yes. When they gave me a program or an assignment, I said okay. I did what I was asked to do. And just those easy, simple things. Showing up and, you know, doing the easier things in life, which we forget how to do once we, you know, become addicts.
Sean, you were at that point, you told me that one point you're sitting there talking to the officer and wanting to end it. And I know you're saying this not tongue in cheek, but you're saying, I just had to do the easy thing and listen. And, you know, that's not easy, as you know, then the state you were in. But what was it that clicked? What made you want to live all of a sudden? What made you want to come back from this and sit here in front of me and tell this story?
Firstly, that same guard, he gave me advice. He stopped for a minute because I think he understood the gravity of what I was asking him to do. And I think he understood how desperate I was. And I think he cared about me because he was a fan. So he said to me, stay positive, Goldberg. And I really chose to do that because I was, you know, that sinking, I don't know if you've ever had a depression where you have that sinking feeling, the rest of the world, who knows what they thought about me, who knows what story they were getting about me, what were people saying about me? I mean, it was a hard place to be in. And when he said, stay positive, something said to in my mind, like, that's a good idea. I should go with that. And I've been going with that. I've been trying to stay positive. And then what was it really that inspired me was the response of the Mighty Ducks fans. I really had no idea that our little movies and our team were so meaningful to so many people in such a profound way. I thought I was out there on the street. I didn't think one single person cared if I lived or died. And so now, you know, there were people donating money to my GoFundMe account to help me get back on my feet. And it just, it lifted me in a way where I, you know, also felt responsible to not, like, let these people down. I never wanted a story to come out in the news where, Goldberg slipped up.
Yeah.
It just didn't, that is too important to not have happen to me, to where it keeps me accountable, you know, so... This has been definitely a two-way relationship with me and the Ducks fans, for sure.
Sean, when was the first time you realized that you had support and love, especially from the Mighty Ducks fans? When was that moment that you're like, wait a second?
Well, really, I was in the jail cell and the security guard came and he said, "Is this you?" And he showed me his cell phone and a picture of me as Goldberg. I was like, was that going to get me an extra peanut butter or what can I get with that? So I said, yeah, that's me. And he said something else. And he said, everybody's rooting for you. I said, what do you mean everybody's rooting for me? Who knows that I'm here?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
How tough has this process been? From the day you decided to listen, from the day you decided to let people help you, how tough has it been to get to here?
I'm afraid of how it sounds, but it hasn't been a hard process. It has been a wonderful process. When I was using my life was Murphy's Law. If it could, anything bad could happen, it did, it would. Everyone was late. Nothing came through. Everything broke. This person didn't do that. Nothing worked. And as soon as I stopped using and I got back in tune with life, it's just like kind of a nice song and dance of life happening around me. So it really hasn't been difficult. I do take a medication that controls the craving for heroin. It's a medication that I think helped me get off heroin. I'm definitely a proponent of medication called Suboxone. And I think that medication, along with my lifestyle regimen, has just, you know, proved to be, I just did what they said worked, basically.
Sean, you mentioned all the people that have supported you and lifted you up, but through this process, a lot of times when you're an addict, there are people that you hurt. Have there been people, have there been relationships you've had to mend, tried to mend, still trying to mend through this process?
Yes, many, unfortunately. And I don't know where I'll get, how far down my list I'll get, but
how do you begin to do that though? How do you begin to go and try to have these conversations with people, because you know they're going to listen to this interview and there could be another narrative that they're going to tell or could tell, I guess.
Well, I mean, I don't know how other people do it. It's been part of my reflection and meditation to just think back over my shortcomings and the things that I've done wrong to people. So for me, it's just literally a process of meditation with a notebook. And I did that for, you know, weeks. It's, I feel like in a lot of cases, you know, they say you should make an amends, except when it's not going to like do anybody any good. So I feel like a lot of the people that, you know, I owe real amends to, my amends to them is probably just staying away. And it's kind of just how I've handled the big ones in my life, I guess.
Yeah. Well, now as you continue to turn this page in your life, Jesus Revolution.
Yes.
You know, I was, Joey and I, producer Joey, we, you know, I've been fortunate enough to read your story. You know, I didn't realize, is the movie coming out like in what, 2 weeks or something? It's like right around the corner, right?
Yeah, it is. Tomorrow's the world premiere at the Man's Chinese Theater.
No way. Going, right?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, dude, I've been waiting for this red carpet for like 15 years.
This is like your first thing in like 14. Yeah, this is like what, 14 years, right? To the day that you started filming, it's amazing. It's how is this going? How are you feeling? Energized? What are the emotions?
I'm totally energized. Yeah, man, I would have liked to have gotten back into acting, but it wasn't really on the top of my to-do list until I went and did this movie. And oh my God, I had so much fun with those guys. You know, I have a small part, so I'm not in it much, but it looks like the trailers are great. I mean, this looks like it turned into a really good movie came out of this thing.
Yeah.
So I'll let you know tomorrow night. We'll go see it tomorrow, and I'll let you know how it is.
I am so excited for you. And in this one, you do play a strung out Vietnam vet. And I did read that you felt almost, I mean, and you've been fortunate enough to have a dentist give you, you got some new teeth. You're looking great, you know, through the meth use. I know all that stuff happens to you, but did you go to the dentist and have him take your teeth back out again? And you said it was almost felt like a relapse doing this movie.
It really did. There's kind of a secret about the tooth, but I will say this, it really felt like a relapse because, you know, as an actor, you're basically using your imagination to take yourself back to a situation.
Yeah.
And I just made it as real for myself as I possibly could in this one scene where I was dope sick. And, you know, for a few moments, it kind of just was very reminiscent of what it felt like. And I just, when I look back at what was happening, it's hard to believe that was even me.
Yeah.
You know, so when I go play this part as this addict, it's like, oh man, like, they're asking you to do this because this is how you work.
Right.
So it was very heavy, but one of the scenes is crazy because my character shows up to this church and he's begging for help. And I've done that on more than one occasion, showed up to a church begging for food and shelter. So I've been there, and my character shows up and the star of the movie gets everyone in the church to pray over my character.
Wow.
So even though it was an intense movie, I mean, even though it was just a movie, like 100 actual, you know, churchgoers that belong to this Calvary church, maybe 200,
yeah,
you know, in a room praying over me was powerful. I will not forget that evening.
Wow. That's incredible. Kelsey Grammer's in this movie, and we look forward to the reaction from it, and we're so happy you're able to do this again. It's so awesome. You mentioned you touched on it about your stand up. What's going on with the stand up, and how are you using your stand up as something that's therapeutic for you based on everything that you've gone through?
You know, it just is naturally, because when I get up there, the audience is generally so supportive of me. And, you know, when I do my jokes and I get laughs, that is just, it means the world to me, you know. It boosts my confidence and makes me feel like I, you know, did something in the world.
Yeah.
So the stand-up has been, usually guys my age, they have their act, you know, but I've been doing the open mics and scrumming it, and I got an act that I'm putting together. Don't sleep on Goldberg over here.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Now that we're having this conversation, and now that I'm getting to know you, I look forward to following your career, you know, from here on out. And I do want to ask you, though, about kind of the Mighty Ducks. You mentioned the fans and the, you know, the connection you have to this organization, and you always will have, and this whole new series, it's out, Game Changers. And I know that you weren't included in it, but what are your thoughts surrounding that and seeing some of your old mates, you know, back out on the ice doing this whole thing again?
I got chills the first time I put the Game Changers on, like the first few moments, just hearing the music and seeing the new logos and the new uniforms. It just was so, it was so wonderful just seeing the Ducks like still alive, you know, and being carried on to the next generation. So I loved it. You know, I think the show's great. It's definitely for younger kids, for sure. That one kid on there is really funny. I forget what his name is. He's hysterical. The friend guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's comedy, that guy.
So, so you're watching it. You're keeping an eye on things.
I have been. I've seen about 4 or 5 episodes. I've seen enough to know what they're missing for the next season.
Yes. Goldberg. Darn right. Well, I hope that phone rings, man. And the way you're going, it wouldn't surprise me if it does. You know, as we mentioned,
I just saw one of the producers of the Ducks at an event last weekend. So we had a great talk. So maybe that'll happen.
You know what? You're trending. You're trending in the right direction, Goldberg. I love it. I do want to ask you, though, I started this conversation talking about your buddy Drew, and you know, it takes a village, you said. And do you find yourself fortunate to have the people that loved you and supported you to help you out of this, and that there are others out there maybe that you saw on the streets that aren't fortunate enough to have these people to help?
Absolutely, without that last line of defense, I'm not sure where I'd be. Typically, I think people, you know, they've got their family to kind of keep them in check, right? So when they start doing meth, their family's like, what are you doing? Stop doing meth, right?
Right.
So I didn't have, like, my parents had gone, and I didn't have anyone near me to be like, what are you doing? So yes, definitely. If, you know, someone's in your life and they've kind of annoyed you because they're a drug addict and they've sucked you into their vortex of hell, like, you can either give up on them or you cannot. I don't know how to advise people
on that. Is that so? Yeah. As we kind of draw to a conclusion here, you know, Sean, we're here to help, right? We're doing this to get your story out there to hopefully help one person, if anything. What are some of the things that you would tell people that are in a situation and they're trying to get out of it? Is there one thing? Is there two things? What would you say?
Yeah, the one thing I would get, the big book, get a book of the Alcoholics Anonymous big book.
Yep.
And learn and look at the 12 steps. If you're really in a bad shape, then those steps will reach out to you. If they don't speak to you, then you're not ready. You're not there yet. Okay. You get what I'm saying?
I do.
So yeah. So if you're in a kind of a hopeless situation, you don't know what you should do. Look at the 12 steps and just know that if you're wondering if you might have a problem, you've got a problem, right? If other people think you have a problem, you most likely have a problem.
So it sounds like you have to listen
and be willing to accept the reality of it. I think a lot of people might listen to this and just be happy carrying on with their 15 pill a day habit. But it's going to snowball because nothing stays the same, right? It's going to escalate. It's going to get worse. So, you know, consider yourself warned.
Yeah. Well, Sean, I hope and I am pretty much certain that your story will touch others. And we as an Anaheim Ducks, a Mighty Ducks family, are so happy for you that you are on this other side. We'll be rooting for you at the Man's Chinese Theater on the premiere of your movie, stand-up. I hope that I'm willing a phone call from the Game Changers very, very soon.
Whoa, hey, thanks for putting it out there, bud. If it happens, I'm definitely giving you commission. Get my agency. Okay. But Yeah, no, that's it's been nice talking to you, man.
And I'm glad that it makes me happy that all the Mighty Ducks family has been reaching out and supporting you and helping you through this process.
It literally has been a lifesaver. So, hey, listen, I don't know if you know anybody that's got some Ducks tickets over there, but I still know how to get to the pond.
All right. Well, I think I might have some connections. I might have some connections.
I'm talking to the right guy.
Yeah. Every now and then I can come through for you. So, as we say so long, I will probably see you here at Honda Center, formerly the Pond, to watch the Ducks play.
Awesome. That sounds great.
All right, Sean, thanks for doing this. We appreciate it. All of our best to you. And thanks for joining us on this edition of Leading the Flock. The Anaheim Ducks have partnered with the OC Healthcare Agency to provide free resources through OC Navigator to Anaheim Ducks fans to help build their healthiest self. We all have difficult days or face hard times, but the resources ducks.ocnavigator.org provides to fans can help us all bounce back. There are tips that fans can utilize to ultimately be a better version of themselves, including nourishing activities, wellness toolkits, and more. To learn more, visit ducks.ocnavigator.org.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.